Hello, everybody. This is Max Spivak with the Fedora Project. We're here today to talk about Fedora's localization efforts. I've got two guests with me. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves, talk a little bit about their history in Fedora, what they do now, how they got started. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Dimitri Glazos.
And I'm Diego Burigo-Zacarão.
We both work on Fedora localization projects. We do the engineering bits. We make sure that the translators have the tools they need to work efficiently on translations. And we interact with the developers and the release engineers to make sure that everything is ready so that Fedora CD ships to our millions of users localized and ready to be used in a translated fashion.
How long have both of you been contributing to Fedora?
I have been working with Fedora for 3 years. I started in 2006 as a translator, and nowadays I'm working with the infrastructure of Fedora project, about localization, of course.
That's a strange accent you have, Diego. Where are you from?
I'm from Brazil, yes.
I'm from Greece.
All right, so here's the first question, because there's a lot of people like me who maybe are a bit confused. I hear all the time words like internationalization and localization and globalization, and I don't understand the difference between all of this. Why do they have all these terms that sound very similar?
Well, there shouldn't be so many terms, actually, and it only confuses people. So to make it simple and clear, internationalization is a process where you take a software and you make it able to be translated. Localization is a process where you take a ready-made software that is already ready to be translated and actually translate it and adapt it to a particular local community's needs. So I rarely use both the terms. I just say localization, and the localization part has a translation part and a technical part, which is make sure that the source is ready, the software is ready, the tools are there. So it's, in my opinion, it's like more just global theme of localization.
So is it fair to say that internationalization is something that goes on a software engineering roadmap, and localization is something that goes on a larger sort of product sort of roadmap?
Right. Yes,
that's true.
That's a very good assessment.
Okay. So how does all of this work within the Fedora project? Because Fedora is a collection of thousands of individual packages. Do we translate all of this ourselves? Where does the translations come from? Where do they go? Explain how this all happens.
So, as you said, Fedora is a collection of various packages from upstream sources. And some of these packages are Fedora is responsible for. An example of this is the Fedora installer. So there are some packages that Fedora is upstream for, and the number of these is around 100. And the Fedora localization project is responsible for this set of packages. For the rest of the packages, they are the other 4,900, we make sure that translations are happening in the upstream projects themselves. So whenever a Fedora translator wants to translate something, we ask for him to go to the upstream project and contribute directly to the source. So we make sure that the packages that Fedora is upstream for get translated, localized, packaged along all the others, and shipped to our audience. And a number, if we need a number of how many users are using a localized desktop, some estimations say that approximately 70% of the Fedora users use a translated desktop.
Okay, so we just had Fedora 11 beta released a few days ago. Where are we in the localization process specifically for Fedora 11? What's been finished and what comes next?
Well, right now we are in string freeze. It means that the whole infrastructure of Fedora localization is working to localize Fedora 11, more or less.
So string freeze means that everything in Anaconda, in the installer, they can't change the words anymore, right? They're going to translate them the way they are right now.
Right. So the translators need to know that the collection of the strings for a particular application will not change, because if someone starts translating something, and he reaches 100% translation, and suddenly a new string appears or a string was modified, then that string will ship in Fedora 11 untranslated. So this was one of the things that me and Diego and the other members of the gang introduced, was that we make sure that in the release schedule of Fedora, we have this period where translators can work efficiently and without any distractions on translating stuff. So this is the string freeze period, and it starts when the developers stop adding any other strings, and it finishes when the translation is done. And at that point, the release engineers can take all the translation, package them, and ship them.
So what about something like Fedora documentation and release notes, which is put into an RPM, but basically as a giant package of strings? Is all of that frozen now also, or is documentation translated on a different schedule?
Documentation is translated in a different schedule because we have different release notes for the beta and the release candidate and the final release. So particularly the documentation project has its own string freeze and translation deadlines. But it works exactly in the same way as the software string freeze works.
So what's the size of Fedora's translator community? How many people are doing this? Which languages have the most contributors?
Right now we have something like 500 translators, and the most popular languages are Brazilian Portuguese, Japanese, Serbian, Spanish, Polish, and Chinese.
So yeah, these teams are very active and usually have a high percentage, completion percentage for their translations. And the number 500 of our translators is quite high, and it has been increasing all these past years. And right now I think it's the number two sub project in Fedora after ambassadors, maybe packagers if they're considered a project.
So the tool that Fedora uses to do all these translations is called TransFX, and you guys are the lead developers of that. What are some of the specific things that TransFX does to make their lives easier, and what problems does TransFX solve that existed beforehand?
So it all started 2 years ago when some Fedora developers wanted to have control over their versioning systems, the repositories that they hosted their code. So they wanted to move their repositories outside of CVS and put them in the open, in the Fedora infrastructure servers, in various versioning systems. So at that point, in order to give the ability to Fedora translators to continue submitting translations to all these repositories, we built TransFX, which is it's a web-based tool. It's a web-based service that Fedora offers to their translators that more or less abstracts all the technical details of the versioning systems and the hosting repositories of projects, and provides the translators with an easy-to-use web interface and on which they can log in, identify which projects they want to contribute, get the files, translate them, and then with the same interface, submit the translations back directly into the upstream versioning system.
So one of the big benefits here then seems to be that a translator doesn't necessarily have to have a lot of technical knowledge about how to use different version control systems in order to provide contributions.
Yes, that's true.
And this is a challenge for translators usually, because they are not technically advanced people usually. They are linguistic people. They have strong abilities to translate and not to handle all the low-level bits, the technical bits. And this is exactly one of the reasons why we built TransFX. And the feedback we received so far is that it's much easier to use than using command line tools.
Are there any other upstreams outside of the Fedora community that have embraced TransFX?
Yes, at least two projects have embraced it. It's PackageKit, which is the graphical user interface for adding and removing software in Fedora and other distributions. And also Pulse Audio, which is the sound server, the modern sound server for Linux. And these projects have trusted the Fedora translation community and used TransFX to receive translations to their projects.
What sort of advice would you give to a developer who's starting a new project, a new upstream, and wants to develop it in a smart way where internationalization and localization will be easy?
So by far the best way to add internationalization support to your application as a developer is using the GetText library. This is a library where you import it in the source code, and it helps you mark the strings that you want to be translated. So for example, you have a user interface, you have a dialogue, or you have a menu, and you mark exactly which strings will appear there, and that should be translated. And after that, when you're finished and you're finalized with your UI, you use the same library to export all these strings outside of the code into some special files that are plain text files specialized in being able to be translated for translators. These files are called PO files. There are other formats as well, but PO is the standard right now. It's like considered the standard. And after this, the developer has the challenge of actually finding translators to translate those files. And this is a challenge, and unfortunately there is no easy recipe right now for it. We're working on that actually. But by far the best way is to identify an existing translation community and request for it from it to send translations for your project if they find it interesting enough.
What kind of feedback and feature requests are you getting about TransFX?
So we presented TransFX in a number of international conferences. The feedback was actually overwhelming. I mean, we started this adventure of solving a particular problem for Fedora, and we ended up discovering something. I mean, the fact that TransFX can submit files directly to the upstream versioning system, no matter what the type is or the location of the server is, opens up a bunch of opportunities and possibilities in building very useful tools. So the feedback we got was that this special feature of TransFX could be very useful for other communities as well. So we started making TransFX more and more generic so that other communities can use it, can extend it. It's more like a platform nowadays rather than just a tool. So recently with Diego, we've written TransFX from scratch using a new application framework, Django. And we built it in a way that it can be extended and adapted for various environments. And the biggest feature request, I guess that we got is that most of the projects wanted one hosted version of TransFX somewhere, so that they can hook up with it and find an existing translation community there. Because as I said before, one of the greatest things that TransFX can do is grow a big translation community.
So that's a very ambitious set of goals and a lot of work. Are you working on this just the two of you all by yourself? How's this all going to get done?
Well, me and Diego are working on it, and actually it's like you said, it's a pretty ambitious goal. So we think that it has a lot of potential. So we actually started our own startup, our own company around it. It's called IndieFX. And the challenge we have and the vision is that we can build a big one-stop portal for translations in the open source world. So we're pushing transfix.net right now. We are five people are spread around the world, and we're using some very good technologies, and I'm pretty excited about it actually.
All right, very good. Well, we'll be interested to follow as you grow and have some success. Tell us, last thought, how you feel being from Greece that Fedora 11 is codenamed Leonidas.
It's cool. I'm looking forward to the great backgrounds from the art team, actually. And it's great. It's a coincidence with all these things happening around IndieFX and TransFX. So it feels great, actually.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having the first of the podcasts with former Fedora project leaders, I think is what we'll call this.
Thanks for having us.
Bye-bye.